So you go with the big dogs, and when you're talking to the big dogs of cricket,
our main man,
Ben Horne from the Daily Telegraph. Hello, Benny.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
We get a little bit distracted at different stages on
this program. Or carried away, one of the two.
one of the two. What we don't do, though, not yet anyway, we haven't had our Christmas party, but it could evolve to this, is pour drinks over each other.
Won't be happening.
What on earth is going on with Ben Duckett and Jimmy Anderson, mate?
Yeah, well, I'm interested to hear some people saying it's a minor incident, but I think you'd get kicked out of most establishments for pouring a beer over someone, wouldn't you? But, yeah, look, it's
and a senior awkward player too, Ben. Gee, yeah, Jimmy Anderson. I mean,
you couldn't make up some of the stuff that's happening with England at the moment. I mean, they went back to the same bar that Johnny Bairstow had his incident, and they lifted the curfew for a night, and then this happened. So it is astonishing just the lack of discipline that's going on at the moment. And, I mean, I suppose on one level, Trevor Bale is maybe a little bit responsible for the discipline standards, but you got to feel sorry for him. I mean, every time he turns the other way, something's going on with one of his players. It's going from bad to worse.
Benny, you can't treat them like children. Mm. Like, they're adults. So you've got to... Surely you can release the reins a little bit, give them a bit of latitude, and then they come up with this. It makes you understand why he has tried to pull them into line.
Well, exactly. I mean, apparently there's some of the senior players that are upset that they're being treated this way, but there's a pretty good reason, I suppose, as to why it's happening. But look, I think the problem goes back to at least the Ben Stokes incident. You know, that they failed to make a proper stand when that happened, and everything has snowballed from there to this point. And if you're not going to come down hard on, you know, on something like that, then, you know, these kind of things pop up, and they've got a real problem. They've got a real problem with how to address it, and they've let it get out of control.
Yep, seems that way, Benny. Well, the Ashes very much on the line for England. Another loss in Perth starting next Thursday, and the Ashes return to Australia. You mentioned Ben Stokes. There's no chance Ben Stokes being a late call-up for Perth?
Look, I don't think so, Ray. I mean, initially this was their target to try and get him here for this test match, but the police process just hasn't happened at the speed that they expected it would. So the latest delay last week where they referred it to the Crown Prosecutor has virtually ended any chance that that could happen. I mean, given they snuck him to Heathrow Airport to New Zealand the other week, I suppose you can't rule anything out, but that, it would require them going back completely on what they've said on Ben Stokes. So he's a chance for the one-day series, but he won't be in Perth. And if you look at the way the first two test matches went, you know, if he was here, what kind of difference could he have made, especially in Brisbane, where
massive.
They really didn't need that much extra. So he's let them down in a big way.
Massive difference,
no doubt.
Ben Stokes.
So we've been talking a lot about the Australian side, and maybe there needs to be some changes there. Pete Hanscom under a bit of pressure. I see Michael Hussey has come out and said, nah, you've got to back him. He's a guy who's averaging 47 in test matches, and you want to drop him after a pink ball test, which is notoriously very difficult from a batting point of view. Mitch Marsh has been added to the squad. I would make the change. I would make the change on Pete Hanscom. What about you, Ben?
I think it's a tough call. Look, I would probably make the change as well, but I'm not sure that they will. I think that there's, you know, there's a certain amount of loyalty that goes in an Ashes series when you're 2-0 up. You think back to George Bailey about 4 years ago. He wasn't in great form through the early part of that series either, and they stuck with it. I guess the danger, you know, look, Peter Hanscom is massively out of form. There's no doubt about that, but he is averaging 47 in Test cricket, 50 going into this series. And the way that the Australian side is at the moment, with a lot of coming and going, I'm not sure it sends the right message to get rid of a guy who's averaging 47, because then you have a scenario where perhaps other players are looking over their shoulders thinking, oh, if he's averaging 47, he's going, you know, when's my turn? So I think there's some dangers there, but I tend to agree with you, Jimmy. I think he's badly out of form, and I think Mitch Marsh might improve the overall balance of the side.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the big question, I guess, we all want to know, Ben, is the Wacker pitch. It's been a road so far this summer. Mitch Stark, in an interview earlier this week, said he hopes we see a Wacker of old, a pitch of old for the Test match. What will we get come Thursday, Ben?
Well, based on the last couple of years, it's definitely not going to be the Wacker of old. We've sort of been praying for it the last two or three years and it hasn't eventuated. I think it might have been a bit of rain the last couple of days, but I think overall it has been very hot over there. So perhaps with the sun baking on it, we might get a bit of action the first couple of days. Mm. But unfortunately, the WACA hasn't been what it's been. So, you know, I guess we're always hopeful, but recent history would suggest that it is going to probably suit the batsman. So I think, you know, big first innings total is going to be what wins this match.
Mm. I know 11 people who hope it's not the WACA of old. The 11 Englishmen, because we're talking about this pace attack. We spoke with Mark Waugh on Friday, and Mark Waugh, you know, Pat Cummins has been remarkable this test series. I think he's bowling superbly, and he's hardly got the rewards for it.
At
now,
the stumps, he's been luckless, hasn't he? Yeah. Quick.
Catches dropped from his bowling. Geez, now we've got Jeff Lawson coming out and saying, this is one of the greatest bowling attacks of all time for Australia. Do you think we're going a little quickly with that one, Ben?
Perhaps a little bit. I mean, I don't think they've quite clicked yet, which I suppose is an ominous sign for England, given how comfortably they've won the first two tests by. But I think Pat Cummins has been outstanding, and I think perhaps the other two haven't quite been as consistent as what we would normally expect, but still, they've come up with the big wickets. I mean, Josh Hazlewood's got Joe Root in both test matches, and particularly this one in Adelaide. That was a crucial wicket. So he stood up when required, and Mitchell Starc, like, when he gets it going, like, he can just whip through a tail, in 5 seconds. So, look, it is an outstanding attack. I think they do have that kind of potential. I'm not sure they're there yet, but you look at how well they complement each other and how young they are. You know, they've got potential to be perhaps the best since, you know, McGrath, Gillespie and Brett Lee, I'd say.
Yeah. I guess what makes this attack different and quite special is you've got your left arm quick who bowls express. You've got Pat Cummins is probably as close to the fastest bowler in the world. Yep. Nathan Lyon's one of the all-time great off spinners.
He's the GOAT.
Yep, and Josh Hazlewood, he cranked it up on that last day in Adelaide. Mm. He was touching the 150s there. Ben, was something said to him the night before? Did he just come out firing? He was almost unplayable on that last morning.
He was, yeah. And look, I think, as I said, I think he's probably been a bit below par this year, but it's a very high bar that he sets for himself. I mean, it's funny, like, we've had all these star bowlers come through the last couple of years, including James Pattinson as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose Josh Hazlewood's the one that possibly gets the least attention, but he's the one that the players rate the highest. And if you talk to Steve Smith and even Mitchell Starc himself, they just think that, and Nathan Lyon for that matter, they think Hazlewood's an absolute genius, and he's the key to it all. And so I think he's the one that's got a really big future. Perhaps he doesn't get the headlines that some of the others do, but he just gets it done. And, you know, those, as I mentioned, the wickets of Joe Root in both of those tests have been really defining moments. And I suppose that's what you want from your fast bowlers, you know, guys who stand up when the heat's on.
And the thing, he had an interrupted preparation. Remember, he had that side strain, or was it a leg injury? Whatever he had limited preparation, and it took him a while to get going. He wasn't happy with his consistency in Brisbane and might have found it. He's one of those guys who strikes me as he needs bowling.
Yep.
He needs bowling in game conditions. Now, what we haven't talked about much over the last 10 days, which is a really good sign, is Sean Marsh nor Tim Payne, because they had really strong contributions. I think at this stage, Ben, we've probably got to say well done to the selectors especially on those two. Mm.
Yeah, which I guess makes this Mitch Marsh and Hanscom decision even bigger, because they have nailed everyone so far. But I think so. My main worry with Sean Marsh going into the series, and probably still now, is just whether his body can hold up to 5 test matches. But, you know, if you look at his record over the last 2 or 3 years, his batting has clearly improved, and he's made some great scores for Australia. So I'm not really that surprised at his contribution so far. You know, I think the question mark on him was just, as at 34 years old, he started to have quite regular problems with his body. So hopefully that holds up. Tim Payne was very good that innings with Sean Marsh, changed that test match. And, you know, overall, he's been very tidy with his gloves.
Ben, you mentioned earlier that Mitch Marsh does come in to the team. It would sort of really complement that balance, and I know Australia's always been trying to get Mitch Marsh to be a permanent test player, but he's on the fringe of getting a start in Perth. If you were Glenn Maxwell, what more do you need to do?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, he is desperately unlucky, particularly given he was the last man out of the side, and he was also called as the reserve for Sean Marsh in Brisbane. Mm. So, yeah, it's a frustrating thing for Glenn Maxwell. He should get his chance in South Africa, I reckon, where they go afterwards, where he should at least be in the squad as a backup batsman. He's unlucky. I mean, the recent record that you've seen, anyone who scores a double hundred in Shield cricket is usually automatically inside. Mm. He made 278 and then followed it up with a 96 and still didn't get the call up. So, you know, hopefully his time comes. Saw an interview with him this week. He's got a pretty good attitude to it all, it seems, at the moment. So, you know, and look, the one thing to give him hope is we've seen so many changes in this Australian team. If Peter Hanscom does make way this week, that's all five players who were called in after that Hobart disaster last year would have come and gone from the side. Mm, wow. So that's a huge turnover. So I'm sure his opportunity will come.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, Benny, great job, mate. We appreciate your contribution there this morning, and I know you've done it over for us the last couple of weeks as well, so appreciate that also. Thanks again today, mate.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Cheers. Thanks, Ben.
There he is, the number one cricket writer for the Daily Telegraph.
Insert that, number one.
Number one cricket writer for the Daily Telegraph.